News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 24th of April, Anno Domini 2005. And you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
Coming back down to my seat, Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm not getting anything out of this.
Boy, the level was high.
I'm on three. Am I up at all?
And you're listening to Sound Bites. We're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, all the more interesting things that are going on in this world.
Now, that's okay. That's okay now. Thank you. It's better. I can hear now.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear clearly now. Okay. It's loud. Yeah, I need to get it louder than the voice in my head, okay, so that I can hear you over them, just so you understand where I'm coming from. I don't have any idea what's going on with the stream, but it's okay. We'll figure it out all together as we go along. But we have all kinds of interesting stuff going on today, and of course, the most important thing is your phone calls.
So we've got it all going on, and we're going to start with. I have to talk about the thing that I most. I have found the most addictive site on the internet.
What are we into now?
It's more addictive than Slashdot. It's more addictive than FARC. It's even more addictive than the Soundbites forums.
No.
Yes. It's the Wikipedia.
Huh?
Wikipedia. Wikipedia.
It's like the encyclopedia, but it's fun.
It's fun, and it's free, and it's run by everybody. Basically, what happened was these folks started this thing, and anybody can put in an article, and anybody can update other people's articles, and anybody can correct other people's stuff. There's 533,000 articles in it right now, more than that, and you can search for information on all kinds of subjects. You can look up important facts of the day. For example, I discovered this morning that today is the 21st anniversary of the introduction of the Apple IIc.
Wow.
That's today.
That's today.
Were you in there?
Yes. Not yet.
Are we in there?
Not yet.
Why?
I don't know. But you can get all kinds of stuff, and things lead you to things lead you to things. So I can do a search. For example, last night at 1 o'clock in the morning, instead of being in bed, I was watching the Nero Wolf Mysteries on A&E.
Doctors are keeping you up late.
Yeah, that's the truth. Well, I was doing homework, and then I decided, you know what? I've spent an entire day not getting anything done for my class, because I did some research, and it was all dead-end stuff.
Okay.
You know how that goes sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, I'm just going to sit here, and I'm going to enjoy. I watched the Sherlock Holmes Mysteries, and then I watched Nero Wolf. And I looked them both up, and they're both in there, and the articles look right to me. I know some about both, and it all looked right to me. But other people can edit it, and it's kind of self-correcting. If somebody puts in something that's not right, it just gets taken away pretty quickly, and you can be banned and blocked, and you know, so all that stuff.
It reminds me a lot of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which the movie, after 20 years in the making, is finally opening this Friday.
Yeah.
One of the opening narrations, you know, the summer repository of all the knowledge in the universe is the Encyclopedia Galactica.
Right.
But no one likes it because it's too boring. So the real repository of all the information is the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is much more useful.
Right, right. And that's kind of what this is. There's an amazing amount of stuff in here. It started in 2001, and they've already got half a billion articles in there. And, half a million articles in there, and there's other. It's multiple languages, and it's just an amazing place. And things lead you to things, lead you to things. You can just spend, as I proved last night, hours. And then of course they've got the worst. It's like crack. They've got the random page link.
Yep.
You just click and it takes you to some random page, which is almost always interesting. And it's pretty neat. Basically, the idea behind this is. There are a million experts in the world. on a million things.
Mm-hmm.
Why not let them do what they do? You know, let them put out their stuff. Let them be the experts they need to be. It's at wikipedia.org. It's actually, and that'll take you to the main page, and then you pick your language from there. Steve, I'm sure, already has that up. If not, he'll have it up shortly. Steve, join the
club. Yeah, today's the anniversary of the opening of the Woolworth building in New York City.
Yeah.
Who remembers Woolworth anymore?
Well, exactly. Yeah. Where do you think I used to get my pizza in between buses?
The Hubble telescope launched aboard Discovery in 1990, and now it's very sad. They're thinking of deorbiting it and letting it burn out.
How silly is that? How unbelievably silly.
Well, in 25 years of...
They had to go back up and correct it.
They had to fix it because the mirror was wrong. Kodak had a better mirror, but the other company was the primary contractor, so that was a mess. But what they've said in the last 15 years, that ground-based telescopes and computer software have gotten so much better, the Hubble really doesn't do much of anything anymore. But it's still a huge research tool.
Yeah.
Right.
I was talking about this with friends yesterday. The city of Rochester has this, what I think, silly plan running now to fill in the old subway tunnel with dirt.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to spend the $15 million to fix it up, so they're going to spend $21 million to fill it in.
Well, they're saying because of the infrastructure underneath there,
right,
things could cave in, so that's why they want to fill it up with...
Yeah, but they're going to spend more filling it up than it would cost to fix it up.
Right, right.
$15 million to fix it, $20 million to fill it.
Yeah, that's to fix it now, though, and then how long will that last before they got it still...
Well, they're saying in another 15 years they might have to put more money in it, but by then maybe someone will want to have a use for it rather than just filling it in.
Right.
We can get going on this too. With the gas problems, you know, Rochester could use a light rail system and cut down on gasoline. You know, electric rail somewhere.
I'd love to see an electric rail system in this town.
Or like we were just talking about this Thursday at our coffee group there on the thruway. All right, you got this big center lane, you know, dividing the two sections. Mm-hmm. Why not put a fast rail through there from Buffalo on down to New York City?
That would
be plenty of open land. You could literally
the problem is, of course, then the thruway people would lose the money. But if they ran it, they would get the money.
Well, that was the other big thing this week. Thruway tolls might be increased or probably will be increased. And we had a meeting in Rochester, and hundreds of people are up in arms against it. You know, the truckers are probably going to have to raise their rates again. And because of the fuel prices, a lot of small trucking companies will go out of business. But then I saw this construction guy come out, and we're for the rate hike because it means thousands of construction jobs.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, isn't it?
Yep.
At any rate...
We can ramble forever.
We could ramble forever. And that's the point of Wikipedia. You can just wander around and see all kinds of cool stuff. Links lead you to links lead you to links. And if in fact you know something about a subject, look it up. See if you can contribute. It's all free. It's all easy. You gain a little bit of recognition. It's a very neat thing. The Wikipedia at wikipedia.org. That's my tip of the day. If you need, you know, I can't think of anything cooler for wasting your time.
There you go.
Then the Wikipedia. I love it. What are you looking at me like that for? Rob Linton is looking at me like, but you have to read. It's not like Halo. There's no blood. There's no, you can't shoot. There's no warthogs. You can't shoot. There's nothing.
Whatever. One thing I just noticed off of our website.
Yes.
Was talking about anniversaries.
Yes.
I think it was like the 24th. I've been doing the Dave's Tips.
Yeah.
For 2 years now.
Today is the 24th.
Then today's the anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
And I got over, I mean, there's just, I usually don't do, you know, just one. Quite often I'll try to do, you know, two or three sometimes, depending on how the week goes. But there's over 2 years worth of tips out there. Going all the way back to the old Windows 98 and that type of stuff.
What's the big red switch on the side for? No one understands that joke anymore.
I know. It's all. I know. Yeah. It's hard, isn't it? All right, listen. We're going to take a quick break so that we can dive into the random page on the Wikipedia. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob, if it doesn't have a controller, it isn't fun, Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody.
I know.
I will give you $20 cash if you tell me who sings this song.
I know the song. I don't remember who sings it. Give me a minute. I'll Google it.
I can't even hear it. Boy George.
No, Betty Davis Eyes is the song.
Boy George. Yeah, I don't think so.
Anyway, we're back, and I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Wright.
I'm Rob Linton.
Kim Carnes.
Is Soundbites.
You know, it's not fair because you got computers.
Yeah. It's the number one hit on Google, too.
No, it's a good song.
It looks like Blondie did it, too.
Yep. We won't go there.
You know, you talk about us being geeks, but you are clearly a radio geek. You just love going through that list of clips
plus,
and cuts.
I mean, it also helps that I own my own business, my DJ business, too, so I know these songs. See,
exactly.
Now, last Saturday, I DJed a wedding that wanted all 80s, so now I'm on this 80s kick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
If you gotta pick a decade to be in,
that's right.
That's the wrong one.
Well, I was born in 1980.
Yeah, it's still the wrong one. Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow did it, too. It's a very popular song.
50s are good. 60s are good. 70s and 80s, bad.
No, the 90s, 60s, if you can remember them, you weren't there.
I'm afraid. My problem is that I was not a contemporary music guy. You know, I listened to a lot of stuff. I listened to jazz and classical and blues and folk. And so I know some of the folk songs from the 60s, but I don't know a lot of the pop stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nobody from that era who didn't hear the Beatles. But beyond that, I have to admit, I'm a complete cultural wasteland. I have no clue. I am without idea.
Kinks,
in terms
surf
of that.
Beach Boys.
Yeah. However,
I was the power ballads in the 70s.
Yeah,
Styx, Rush, yes. Yeah, that's my era.
Do you realize how many people are turning their radios off as we
go? Yeah.
We're doing a computer show. Should probably talk about computers.
Computers. Yeah.
You think that would be a good idea?
My first computer experience. Here we go. Where's your first computer experience? I was like 7 or 8 years old, and my dad took me to his office at Kodak. They were having an open house, and we could go in and see all the stuff there. They had an electron microscope that filled an entire room. And they had it on a watch, so the mechanism, the gear mechanism of a watch, no one knows anymore.
Right.
Magnified a million times, was really cool. And then we went to the computer, and it was another almost entire room, and I played tic-tac-toe on it. And wow!
the very first computer I ever saw that really had an impact on my life was an Apple II. They had just come out.
Fell out of the second story window on you?
Almost.
It was, that'll cause an impact on your life.
It was the early 70s, and I was actually doing dinner theater here in Rochester. I was with a national company, and I was hired to do a dinner theater show here. And I was working all night. I had a real job, and I was walking around Monroe Avenue at one point. I saw this place called the Computer Center, the Home Computer Center, and I thought, computers in your home? Who even ever heard of this in 1974 or 5?
77 was the Apple II.
Yeah. So I walked in, and I said, okay, 77. And I walked in, and I saw the Apple II sitting there, and I fell deeply and immediately in lust. I had to sit down and play with it. So I was in there every day. And eventually the guy who ran the place, one of the two guys who owned the place, Mark Schrager, said to me, look, it's obvious you don't work for a living. What do you do? So I told him, and he asked me to come and sell them, and I did, and it was actually kind of cool. Call in and tell us what your first computer experience was. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more of this show. We're going to talk about our computer experiences. We're going to talk about what's going on in the world of computing. We'll have more news and information and all kinds of good stuff. We're going to let Rob Linton tell us what his favorite picks of the 80s were. And we're not going to actually put that on the air, though, because we don't want everybody to fall asleep. And then we're going to be back with a whole lot more of sound bites with Steve Ray, Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. You folks, call in and we'll all have fun together on the greatest computer show that's not on Wikipedia, And that would be Sound Bites. Where is it? All together now, 1180 WHAM.
Donating your car, boat, or talk that you can understand. Now back to Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benner.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. We're going to go right to the phones, and we're going to start, I think, with Tim from Greece, New York. Welcome, Tim. What's your question?
I was just calling in for the first computer experience,
Excellent. Yeah.
Well, I started way back in the old days with the Sinclair, if you remember that one.
Sure,
you had to build it yourself and hook it up to the TV, and then I moved on to the big VIC-20 and... dropped the big bucks and bought that big 16K memory expander.
Yep.
Yes.
That would probably cost more than the computer did.
almost three times.
Yeah exactly. How cool is that? Do you still have them?
Oh, no. VIC-20, well, when the Commodore 64 came out, then I went for real horsepower.
Exactly. And it had that graphic character set.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you could actually draw pictures on the screen with the graphics characters. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, you know, I never owned a Sinclair, but I owned a Jupiter Ace, which was the
one.
Sinclair with, instead of basic in ROM, it had fourth in ROM. I was actually a fourth programmer in those. I'll deny that to my dying day. But so I had that and had fourth in it. Very cool. Little tiny thing with a little chiclet keyboard. They were so cool. They were so cool. Well, thanks.
Have a
Tim.
Super terrific day, and I'll turn the radio back on so I can hear other old geezers' experiences.
We want to hear from young geezers, too. People whose first experience was with an Athlon 64. You know, we're happy to talk to anybody. We're mm-hmm. good. Speaking of which, we're going to talk to Keith from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Keith. What's your question?
Hi. I have a desktop that's got Windows 98, and I've got a laptop with the new... the new version, but anyway, they're networked together, and I have no problem with either computer except for one slight glitch. I've done the security tango on both of them, and what happens is I'll be using the desktop, and if I say run a virus check, or if I use some of my HP software for photo editing, certain things seem to bring it on. But what happens is I'll leave, come back, and when I come back, the display setting has changed from 1024 by 768 to 640 by 480. So I go back into display settings, change it, apply it, everything's fine, and then it just clicks back by itself periodically. Is there a reason for that to happen?
Well, there's always a reason.
Yeah.
and you rarely know what that reason is.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for calling.
Well, there's a number of programs, especially games, that are notorious, that when they go to run, they'll literally change the screen resolution into what they want.
Right.
You know, to say 640 by 480 size and maybe only 256 colors because that's all it needs versus the 32 billion.
Well, it's certainly possible when you're using particularly something like your photo software. When you leave, it changes back to what it thinks is the right resolution but isn't. I would start with your... this happens only on the desktop or only on the laptop?
Just on the desktop with 98. And I do have Railroad Tycoon installed and a couple other things that I don't know if they have affected or not, but...
they might.
Sometimes I've just left it on during the night and come back in the morning and it's changed without running any programs or doing anything.
Have you also checked for any updated drivers? Since you're running Windows 98 on that, have you looked for any newer drivers out on the web for that manufacturer and tried updating?
Yeah, I haven't done that.
I might even suggest delete the video driver completely and install a new version because it could be something as simple as a corrupt driver forgetting what preference you wanted.
Exactly. What we would suggest, I think, at this point... how old is this desktop machine? Is it originally Windows 98?
Yes.
How old is it?
What is it, 55 years? 5 years.
Yeah, it could also be the beginning of the video card hardware failure, too.
Yeah.
But the thing you want to start with is looking to see if there's an updated driver for your video card. Download it, and then, as Steve said, remove the video card driver from memory. inside the control panel, and then let it refine the new one and
well,
put it back in.
Well, sometimes it'll want to keep the old drivers, but if you install the drivers after you download them, it'll say, usually give you a screen.
Yeah.
And it'll say, do you want to keep the current ones or overwrite them?
Say overwrite.
And you say overwrite, and that way it forces the thing to automatically
and then reboot, just to be safe.
And then reboot, yes,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. So try that. That's where I'd start, but it just... If the machine is not capable of running much more than Windows 98, you're kind of stuck. But if it's fast enough, 500 megahertz, 256 mega RAM, that sort of fare, you might think of upgrading it to XP as well, since the drivers for that are much more stable too. But it, the reality is it's 5 years old, and it could be that the video card is starting to go.
Okay.
It's getting to be so that it's almost not worth upgrading an old computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's a hundred and some dollars for XP, and then you're probably going to need more RAM, and you're probably going to want a bigger hard drive. Might as well get a bigger computer.
Yeah, right, because now you've already spent the bulk of the money there.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I understand that. Thanks, Keith. Good luck. Our next caller is George on a cell phone. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Well, I'm calling about the oldest computer.
Yes.
My first contact was in 1943.
Wowie.
It was a mechanical electrical computer designed, it was a dedicated computer. It was called the Torpedo Data Computer. It was designed to solve the torpedo fire program in real time.
Sure. How cool is that?
That was all tubes, too.
So
right?
You're an old Navy guy.
No, there were no tubes in it.
No?
There were a lot of follow-up heads.
Okay.
Mechanical devices.
Hardwired core memory. Yep.
Hardwired.
How cool is that?
Yeah, ENIAC started.
Did you get to program it?
Well, actually, I was responsible for maintenance. There was no programming other than setting some cams calibrating the time motor. There was really no programming involved.
Yeah, maintenance with an oil can to make sure that the gears still turn.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Whoa.
How cool is that? George, thank you so much. What a great story. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. Call in, give us your ideas of your experiences with computers.
So far, that's the oldest one, 43.
Yeah, 43. I don't know that you're going to get a lot older than that if you're talking about computers, unless Ada Lovelace calls in. Back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites on 1180 WHAF.
Last year is over. Computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites, courtesy of Wikipedia. Pilatre is a lunar crater near the southwestern limb of the moon. Sorry. It's just what came up when I hit random page. I could get lost in Wikipedia. We're back to the phones. We're going to talk to Steve from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hey, Nick. Great show, you guys.
Thank you.
Every time I go to Outlook Express, I get an error message saying the hostpopserver.rochester.rr.com could not be found. Please verify that you have entered the server name correctly. Account, parentheses, Steve, server, pop server, so on and so forth. No socket error.
It should be pop-server.
I've been able to fix it by disconnecting the cables from my Linksys DSL router or from the cable modem.
Do internet pages, web pages open okay?
Pardon me?
Do web pages open okay while you can't get your email? So it has nothing to do with email. It's an internet function.
Yeah.
Do you have the dash between the pop and the server?
Yeah, because when he disconnects and reconnects, it works. What it sounds like, now, are you on, you have a router in your system?
Yeah, I have a Linksys cable DSL router.
Okay, here's what it so you're saying you cannot get to any web page or anything when this happens.
Right.
Okay, here's what I think is happening. You're losing your DNS license. Let me explain what that is. The internet actually doesn't run on names. When you type soundbites.org, it doesn't. The internet has no idea what soundbites.org is. It needs a number instead, and the entire internet runs on numbers. And what happens is, those numbers. For example, soundbites.org is actually 64.177.228.149. Nobody's going to remember that. So there are these servers called domain name servers, actually, well, at any rate, there's servers out there that will translate those numbers into names. And if you lose track of those, you can't get anywhere because it comes back and says, I have no idea what soundbites.org is or where it is. Because stop pulling my cable out.
No.
That DNS lease, they call it, usually is for 24 hours.
Question for you though. You said you've got a Linksys router hub.
Yeah.
So it tells me that there's more than one computer.
Yeah. Well, right.
Does the other computer experience the same thing?
Right.
It has the same issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then so what it sounds like
I
is
I just wanted to verify make sure it wasn't a network card issue.
Yep. So what it sounds like is the Linksys router is losing its DNS connection to Roadrunner. Now, your best place to start, I believe, is with the Roadrunner folks and have them check to see that your DNS lease is being renewed.
Okay.
Actually, your DHCP lease.
Yeah,
because every time I try to go on the Internet, and it comes up, the page cannot be displayed.
Right, because
exactly.
In essence, you're not connected to the Internet anymore.
Well, here's one other thing you could try to kind of eliminate one more piece of hardware. If you want to kind of eliminate the, say, the link system, make sure that that's not the issue, the Roadrunner modem, plug it directly into your computer.
Okay.
And try that for a day and see if you lose connection.
Okay.
If you don't...
Yeah, one computer or the other, just pick one.
And you try it for a day and see if you have the same issue. If you don't, then that points right back to the Linksys. Maybe
exactly.
You got a faulty Linksys.
Okay.
Yeah, you can also check the lights on the cable router when the problem occurs. The power light should be solid, the cable light should be solid, the link light should be solid, and the data light may be flashing. But if any of those first three lights are flashing, there's something wrong with the cable system or the cable router.
Right. Give that a try. Let us know. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. We have Kurt, John, and Dave on the phone, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And you may already know that you are listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. I'd like to apologize to everybody who normally streams this show. It appears that the Shoutcast server was down. I have no idea why, but it's back up now. And
it's Sunday. It wanted a day off.
Sunday, day off, kind of nice, a little relaxation.
You know, it's Passover.
Sure. And it's up again now, and life is good. We're going to go now to Kurt in Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Kurt. What's your question?
Before we go down memory lane, the fellow with the Linksys router should check that his ROM has been updated. I had a similar problem, and the update cured it.
That's a good point.
Anyway. Yeah, like with just about every other piece of software, and there is software inside the Linksys router, there are updates to that software. And so Steve should check that his Linksys router has the latest set of updates, and if it doesn't, download the latest one. That's a great point,
yeah.
Kurt. Thank you.
Anyway, even though George has got me beat, my first computer was John Titus Mark 8. I built it up out of an article on radio and electronics in 1974. It had a whole entire 4K of memory. It had used an ASR33 teletype, five-level teletype for input-output.
Yeah.
Which it explains why Edlin is the way it is.
Yeah.
And it was pretty neat. It had an acoustic coupled modem, 300 baud, fast.
Ooh, yeah. That is a screamer.
And it actually made money for me because during the end of the semester, the CS101 guys all wanted to get to the terminals, which were punch cards back then.
Right.
And I had about the only way you could get into the mainframe for a reasonable price.
Good for you.
There you go.
Good for you. What a great story. So you built this this Mark 8 all by yourself.
Yeah, it was an article in Radio and Electronics, and I ordered the parts from Polypex and Massachusetts, and son of a gun, it worked.
Wow. You're one of the few who built an actual computer out of one of the magazines and actually got it to work. Good for you.
Well, actually, the next semester, spring of 75, my networks professor went down to Albuquerque and flew back with an Altair kit.
Sure. Did he get it to work?
Put it together for him. Yeah, it was great.
I have a friend who's who's this close to finishing his.
Oh, yeah?
He's just waiting for the RAM.
That happened a lot.
Yeah.
I used to do a lot of the Heath kits when I was a kid.
Yeah. So did I. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a great story, Kurt. Thanks.
I always wanted to get that Heathkit robot. My parents wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
Oh, radios are fine, but no robots.
And with really good reason. Okay, our next caller is John on a cell phone. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hey, my question is, I just got my computer back from the shop. I had my motherboard replaced and my power supply. And I can get onto everything, but and it says I have a great connection to my Linksys.
Yeah,
and I have Roadrunner, and the only thing, every time I try to click onto the E for the internet, I'm running Windows 2000, it won't let me get on. You know why that could possibly be?
Do other browsers work?
Other browsers work besides that, the E, when I try to get onto the internet.
Do you get an error message?
Pardon me?
Do you get an error message?
No error messages on it.
It just sits there and spins forever, never connects, and never gives you a can't connect error?
It doesn't even spin. That's the thing.
What it sounds like is either Internet Explorer is corrupted, or the link is pointing to a bad spot, some other thing somewhere.
Do you get a good IP address?
Yeah, I have a good IP address and everything when I bring it up through Device Manager.
And you use other browsers like Firefox or whatever, and they work great.
Yep.
Well, of course, the good news is Firefox is a much better browser than IE. But here's the way you test whether the problem is with the link or actually with Internet Explorer. You're running what, Windows XP?
2000.
Right, 2000. You said that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Click on Start.
Okay.
Click on Run.
Okay.
Type in iExplore, all one word, iExplore.
Okay.
Hit enter.
Okay.
If Internet Explorer comes up, then the problem is that little link, the icon on your desktop is bad.
Okay. Now, what do I have to do if it's corrupt, if the Internet Explorer is corrupt?
The only thing you can do in that case is to download Internet Explorer from Microsoft's website and reinstall it.
Okay. So can I buy Internet Explorer?
No, it's free. Download from the Internet.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
You use another browser, like Firefox or whatever, to go download it and be on your way. But again, let me reiterate that in most cases, you're going to be a little safer on the Internet with something like Firefox than you are with IE.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thanks.
Thanks. There are those who are right now posting something in the bulletin board and the forum that are saying, oh, that's a feature.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
It's not a problem that IE won't
work. That was intended, and, you know, they take full responsibility.
How do I get my computer to do that?
Yeah, really.
If you're playing something in the background, I can't hear it. Okay. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back on the other side of the news from the great Joan Brandenburg, who's here to give us all the news we need to know. What are you saying?
We have music will be starting in 10 seconds. We don't have enough time to take another call.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Just shake your head. Nothing even rattles. What am I supposed to think? Oh, I see. Because you went no, and I'm saying I'm not hearing any music. We need to work on your communication skills.
Yeah, well.
Okay,
whatever.
So you can.
How long we've been?
He has a degree in communications.
I know, and look what he ended up with. I can't believe this.
How long have we been doing this?
We have been doing this not long enough for you to get it. That's the problem right there. You can't just look at me and go, and expect me to get it. There has to be some sort of communication going on. I get it when my dogs communicate with me. Why can't I figure you out? Listen, we're going to take a break, and the great Joan Brandenburg will be here to do the news, and then we'll be back on the other side with Dave and Lee and everybody else who's called or calling in, and we're going to be back on the greatest computer show in the known universe, whether Rob likes it or not. We're going to come back after the news and do a whole lot more sound bites on 1180 WHAM. So in spite of Rob, stick around. We will return.
Longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. In just a minute, we'll go back to the phones where Dave, Lee, and John are patiently waiting. Before we do, I want to talk very quickly about our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was about taxes. 387 of
you voted, making it number 42 on the all-time hit list. Thank you very much. And the question was, how did you do your taxes this year? 41% of you used the tax prep program. 34% of you used an accountant. 12% of you
did it manually. And 43 of you used a random number generator, which personally would have, I think, worked better for me.
That's what the government uses.
That's exactly right. So at any rate, this week we're talking about it is spring. And that means, at least here in western New York, we have the joys of unpredictable weather. Sometimes that's snow in April. More often, however, at this time of year, that has to do with lightning and thunderstorms. And so, not that there's really a difference between those two. So I'm just gently reminding you about that. And our poll of the week is about springtime power problems. How do you deal with them? The choices are with a surge suppressor, with an uninterruptible power supply, and by ignoring the whole unsavory topic. So far, we've got 82 votes, and it seems that an uninterruptible power supply and a surge suppressor are just basically tied, followed not far behind, unfortunately, by ignoring the whole unsavory topic. It is important, I believe, to have some sort of power management system. An uninterruptible power supply is your absolute best bet. In fact, I need to replace the batteries in mine.
And don't rely on those $7 power strips you get at the regular stores. That's just a power strip. They may have a little fuse in them, but don't rely on those for power.
What happens
issues.
Is the very first time they
get hit with a surge, that fuse pops.
Yep.
It has protected your machine against that power surge.
It'll still work as an electric outlet, and but not as a surge protector.
But from then on, it's no longer a surge protector.
Correct.
Some of them have a reset switch, and if you hit it, then you're protected again until it pops again. But even so, it's not good. And the biggest problem people have is not power surges, but power brownouts.
Yep.
Less power. And that can damage your machine pretty severely. That's why having a good uninterruptible power supply, one where you are constantly running from the battery, and the battery is constantly recharging from the wall socket, that's the best kind to have. Then you always have steady power to your computer, and if there's a surge, why, the battery just absorbs it, and if there's a brownout, the battery just keeps on running.
I got a client just brought a machine in yesterday, had a surge, took out the power, took out the surge protector, and now we're thinking, hopefully, it might be just a power supply, it stopped there. But his machine won't even boot now.
So the power supply got into the logic board, got into the CPU,
everything. Until I get into it, it's like, oh, well.
So at any rate, it is important to protect your machine, and that's just a gentle reminder to
do
so.
And you can get them relatively inexpensive. I mean, you're not talking hundreds and hundreds of dollars just for a home computer. I mean, you only need it to be able to maybe last, 20 minutes or so? So if there's a power storm coming or an outage, you can shut it down properly.
The more you spend, the longer the battery lasts when the power fails completely. For $50, you get 5 minutes of battery life. Now, for $5,000, you get a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. And somewhere in between those two is a good place to be.
Yeah.
The nice thing, of course, is that with most machines, you can actually connect a serial cable from your computer to the thing, and it'll shut down itself.
It's a product they call PowerShoot.
APC is one of the better brands of UPSs.
And it'll shut it all down.
So, it, yeah, the computer knows when the power's failed and shuts itself down normally instead of just crashing.
Yep. And when you're done voting on our website, you'll see a link to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. Thank you. Was that me? And you'll find that you can give more of an opinion on the topic there. We have 10 already in there, and I believe several of them are actually about the topic at hand, which is kind of nice. And then come on back and join us in the forums where we do all kinds of great stuff. In the meantime, we're back here, and we're talking to Dave from Greece, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Well, let's see. Where do I start?
I don't know.
At the beginning.
I can't seem to get onto the Internet. I will open up Internet Explorer, and it spins, and I get nowhere. I can't even open up Firefox. I get the little hourglass, and about 30 seconds later, it disappears, and I get nothing.
All right. What version of Windows are you running?
ME.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, when you...
I've never seen you this calm when somebody mentioned ME. You're really thinking he's punished enough, you don't have to hurt him more.
Yes,
that's exactly it. Okay, good.
So, Dave, if you type in WinIPCFG...
At the run prompt.
At the run prompt.
Okay.
And if you come up with an address of 169...
Well, how do you connect to the Internet? Let's start there.
Through Roadrunner.
Okay.
Now...
Are you just one machine connected right to the cable modem?
No, I've got a wireless, and I know it's working for a couple of reasons, because another computer is working through it, plus WeatherBug is on, and I've got my temperature up and everything.
WeatherBug is bad. WeatherBug is spyware. That could be why it's not working.
WeatherBug is a bad thing.
All right. Well, it's been on there for a while, but...
Still, it's been a bad thing for a while.
Okay.
probably your best bet, have you danced the Security Tango?
I did.
Good.
And, you know, I ran it, and I still have the same problem.
Good. Well, that eliminates a whole set of problems. Yeah. We can move on from there.
Yeah. What I would suggest is if you go to Start Run and type in WinIPCFG.
CFG?
Yeah.
Config.
Yep. And what it'll do is open up a window. Mm-hmm. And there's a little window up there. If it didn't select your network card, you can select the down arrow and select your network card, and it'll show you the current settings. If you're getting a 169 problem, you know, 169 address, that means you're not getting a valid address. In other words, the network card isn't receiving from the router its unique address to get onto the web. Because each person on that network will get its own IP address so it can go out to the Internet. And if you're getting a 169, it's saying that it's not getting it.
Okay, I don't see a 169 here.
What address are you getting?
I'm sorry?
What address do you get?
IP address is 192.168.2.9.
So that means your computer is talking to your wireless router, okay, and the problem is between... Well, not necessarily. The problem could be between the wireless router and the Internet, but you said other machines are working?
Yes.
So it's more likely some software corruption in your computer.
Yeah.
You can try running the system file checker, which is SFC at the run prompt, mm-hmm. and that will try to repair any damaged Windows files. What may have happened is that after you ran the Security Tango and it deleted all of the spyware, some of the spyware had hooks into your Internet access because it wants to open Internet feeds.
Right.
And so by removing the spyware, it's actually broken those hooks, and now you need to repair the operating system mm-hmm. so it can get back to the Internet.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. If I were to just go out and buy a Windows XP upgrade, mm-hmm. would that take care of this?
Well,
maybe.
How much memory do you have in the machine?
20 gig, I think.
No, that'd be the hard drive.
Oh, the hard drive. The RAM... I'm not sure.
Well, see, here's the things. You know, you got to have at least a Pentium 3 350.
Okay.
You've got to have at least 512K of memory.
Meg.
Yeah,
512 meg of memory.
Why am I keep thinking?
Because we're talking about early computers. 512K was a whole lot.
Way more than anybody had.
Oh, I haven't even told
you. But you want a minimum of 350, and 500 would be better.
512 meg of memory.
Right.
20 gig hard drive is okay to start out with. You know, you can always add another hard drive down the road. But if you don't meet into those requirements, you might literally, instead of trying to do this upgrade, seriously look into purchasing, you know, another system.
But an upgrade install may not fix the problem, depending on where the corruption lies. If you do a new install of XP, then it will work, but you'll have to then reinstall all your old applications again.
And, of course, what we're finding is that if you do an upgrade to XP and there were corruptions in the registry of any sort, when you insert, when you do Service Pack 2, which eventually you will do, you can really screw up your machine.
Oh, boy.
You can try putting ME over ME.
Well, yeah, the first step is to run System File Checker, and if yep. that doesn't work it, you can reinstall ME over top of ME, and that may fix it.
Okay. And so how do I do System File Checker? Is that from Start Run?
Yep. Yep.
Start Run SFC. Give that a try and let us know. Thanks. That's
those are
a
always
good...
annoying problems.
Oh, yeah. It's hard. Sometimes it's just hard. Our next caller is Lee from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Lee. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thanks.
For that gentleman that couldn't get on the Internet?
Yeah.
We have the same problem periodically. All I do is unplug the cable modem, wait 2-3 minutes, plug it back in. Everything works fine.
Yeah, it may not be something in your own network. It may be something upstream from Time Warner. And that's one of the things by looking at the lights on the cable modem you can help diagnose as well.
Well, this happens to us every 5 months, 6 months.
Yeah.
All I do is reset the cable modem. In fact, they even brought me a new cable modem. I still have the same problem.
Yeah, sometimes those things happen. There's millions of miles of cable and stuff happens.
Once you know how things are supposed to work, it's just amazing that anything works at all.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I do have a question also.
Sure.
I have Red Hat FC1 on my computer.
Right.
All updated, runs great. I just use a computer to surf the web, get my mail, stuff like that. Is there any reason for me to go to FC4 when it comes out?
Except that there are some security fixes. What he's talking about, let me back up a minute.
Yeah.
What he's talking about is Fedora, which is the free version of Red Hat Linux. Fedora Core 1 was the original. They're up to 3 now, and 4 is coming out. Each one of them, it replaces Windows entirely, and you're now running a Linux-based computer system. There's no reason to move from Core 1 except that Core 4 has some newer features. They've updated a couple little things. It may run a little faster depending on what your machine is. And eventually they're going to stop supporting Core 1. So at some point, upgrading to the newest version is probably a really good idea.
Well,
but
it sounds like a good summer project.
Exactly. But in general, I applaud what you're doing. You can do everything you need to do without having to worry nearly as much about any of the problems that you run into with viruses and stuff that are Windows specific. And if it runs good for you, you know, God bless you. My daughter, I put Ubuntu Linux on her computer, and she's just in love. It's great. It's great. It's great for me, too. So I can update it, you know, without having, I can just log in and update it and do all kinds of things. So Fedora is a terrific product. And I recommend it. Core 4 will be great, but other than a few features, you know, you can look up on the Fedora website, you can see what the changes are. In the long run, I think you're better off running with the newer version, but particularly from Core 1, which really was the very first one.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yep, bye.
I love to hear that. I love people logging in to do that. Our next caller is John from Rochester, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, I have a Mac question.
Okay.
Sure.
I'm having trouble logging into two accounts on my Emac running 10.3.9. And when I put in the password, I'll get the little login spinning bar thing, and it just stays there forever. And you have to unplug the computer to get out of it.
You can't just shut it off?
No.
That's weird. The power button should shut it off no matter what.
It just makes it sleep.
Well, you're not holding it long enough. If you push the power button, it goes to sleep. If you hold the power button, it shuts off.
All right.
Doesn't solve your problem, though. Something is corrupt in that username.
All right.
And you're likely not going to find it. If you have a second username you can use, then that gets you into the computer. What you may want to try is, let me think. Because then you have to look at the file. You want the files from the other username back.
Right.
You have to mess with the Unix permissions to see a directory that you're not normally allowed to see into.
Right.
You can try an archive system install, which gives you a brand new system and then moves those users to the previous system folder, it's called, and then you might be able to get into it. There's a program called Bat Change Mod, which changes the Unix permissions, but it's kind of tricky to do, so you might want to end up taking it someplace to get into those files.
Tell you what, John, email us at soundbites.org, and Steve can give you slightly more focus things offline. We're going to take a break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the phone. We have Bud, Bill, and Nick. And all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's Michael. Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. Our next caller, Bud from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bud. What's your question?
Hey, good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Bud.
Dave, Steve.
Hello.
Hey, nice looking shirt there, Dave.
Thank you.
One of your callers called in regarding being able to connect to the internet, and something that I experienced and Dave discovered for me was cables. Simple little problem. The other thing, a while ago, I think it was about a year ago, Nick, you had a talk with somebody that was starting some sort of a museum in Rochester or around the area regarding
Doug Simar.
Do you have that address or how to get in touch with him? Because I've got some stuff pertaining going back to the VIC-20, the VIC-64,
it would be,
early IBM stuff, and even Trash 80 equipment.
Yeah, he's down.
It'd be on our link list.
Yeah, I think he's on our link list. And tend to want to, he listens to the show all the time, too. So check, you know.
Email us at the website.
And if I have his, email me. And I still think I have his email address in my address book, and I can just forward it on to you.
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate that.
Okay.
I can't see throwing this stuff out in a garage sale because nobody would appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yep. And throwing it to the curbside, it's better than junk, you know?
Yeah.
Well, right. Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, definitely check that out on the website and email us, and we'll make sure that you get in touch with him and get that all done.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Great show.
Thank you
very much. I love to hear that. It's a very cool idea, and it would be great to get more of that stuff.
Yeah, and one of the problems that he mentioned that we overlooked was the cables. The Ethernet cable,
yes.
Your phone cable, those little clips break off so easily that it's very easy for the cable to then slip out of the socket.
Mm-hmm.
And it may only be partially inserted, so you might still have a link light on your hub. But not have any connection on the cable because it's only partially inserted.
Yeah, yep. That's exactly the problem I was having with this earlier today. It was suddenly not getting anywhere.
Didn't plug it in all the way.
It wasn't in 100%. Yeah. Our next caller, Bill from Marion, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
How you doing? How you doing, guys?
Peachy, great. How are you?
Not bad. I love your show. I listen to it every weekend. I don't always get to hear the whole thing, but I hear what I can hear. You know what I mean?
There I know go. What it's about. You know, you can pick us up in the archives, too.
Yeah, I think I've tried to do that, listen to you online, but it doesn't really work for me. I don't know what's going on with that.
Well, no, we also have, if you miss a show, you can on our webpage, we have all the old shows, and we literally tape them. And then the following week, sometime during the, like this week, sometime, say, from Wednesday on, we'll have this week's show up there.
Oh. Yeah, I don't have last week's show up yet because this was a really bad, busy week for me.
It happens. It's all volunteer.
It also
happen.
Depends on how much editing I need to do.
Right, exactly.
If there's no editing, I'll have it up this afternoon. If there's some editing to do, it might take me a few days.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, you can go back. I mean, we've got years up there.
Ah, cool.
And don't forget, for those of you who are into podcasting, you can get a podcast, and that makes it real easy. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I've got a problem with my father-in-law's computer. It seems like every time we do something to his computer, it's always a nightmare. and right now...
And you get blamed.
Well, yeah. I try to do nice things for him, and it always goes in the gutters. So. the problem we have right now is we just installed XP on his computer,
mm-hmm.
and he started out having very low sound, and now he has no sound. We've tried reinstalling the drivers from the website for the motherboard, and that doesn't work, and I'm kind of lost. I look, AC97 is in there. Everything seems to be in there, but he's not getting any sound.
There's no errors in the device manager on your sound card and stuff?
No, there's. I don't see any conflicts of any kind on there.
And so you just did an upgrade?
Yeah. It was a clean install.
Oh, was it clean?
What had originally happened from the get-go is I upgraded my computer, motherboard and all, mm-hmm. and gave him my setup.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a hard time getting it going, so we ended up taking it over to a place in Webster, and he got it going, and now there's no sound.
How old of a device is it?
I would say no more than 2 years old. It's onboard sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's an AMD board. It's a Soil board.
Let's back up to the first easiest thing. Are you sure your speakers are connected to the right port?
Yes.
Because there's generally three ports on the sound card. You've got mic in, a line in, and then headphone out.
Right. They're in the green because they're generally color-coded.
Right. Yeah, green.
And your speakers are turned on and powered?
Yep. I even had him go yesterday and buy a set of power speakers because that's what I use. And I said, well, maybe it's been, you know, heading out the door when I had it and never knew it because I used powered speakers. I said, so go buy a set of powered speakers and see what that does.
It still may be the sound card chip set on the motherboard could be failing.
I mean, you know, if he's not into, you know, high-quality sound, you know, and you can pick up an inexpensive sound card for $15-$20.
That was my next thought.
Yeah, well, one of the things you can try with this is go into the device manager, remove everything related to the sound card. Let it redetect and then load new drivers.
And wait a minute, you say this is the onboard sound. You want to make sure that in the BIOS that hasn't been disabled.
Okay, what would that be under in there?
Under peripherals.
Peripherals.
And then probably audio.
Sound
blaster or something like that.
Well, it'll say.
It'll probably just say audio, not specifically sound blaster.
Right. It'll say the audio and make sure that's enabled.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe somehow it got turned off somehow.
I mean, stuff like that happens. I've seen folks also check to mute the sound.
Accidentally.
I look for that, that wasn't on.
But if you started out with sound and it gradually got lower and ended up dying out, then it's likely that the hardware went.
Yeah.
If it just was working and then stopped working, check all the software things first.
Right. Okay.
But again, as Dave says, you know, it's $15-$20 for a brand new sound card,
and then why go
through the hassle? But then you do have to go back into the
BIOS to disable the onboard sound.
Right. Okay.
So the external sound works.
Yep.
So play all that stuff. You be a good son-in-law and make it happen. There you go. Our next caller, Nick from Henrietta. Hiya, Nick.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I have a new computer. It's a Dell laptop. And we have XP Professional loaded on it. And just recently, when it boots up, I'm getting a window that comes up and says, notify alert .exec, common language runtime debugging services. And gone in to try and debug it. They give you a cancel, it'll debug. Okay, it terminates the application, but this continues to pop up. What could be the problem?
Sounds like it's software that came with that Dell that's trying to do spyware cleaning and all that. And if you go to start, run, and type msconfig, you'll get a window opening up, and the far tab is the startup. And you can look in there and see all the things that are running. And I would, you know, look for that where it's sitting there. What is the name of that program?
The CLR runtime?
Yeah, well, there could be a program that's Dell-specific that you could try unchecking to see if you can eliminate that problem and also check for other things that you might not want running, like Microsoft Messenger, some of these reminder programs to register this or register that, depending on whatever. You can uncheck all those things. Real player, if real player's in there, that gets loaded and, you know, check for updates. You can uncheck that and go down the list and eliminate the things that are stopping. The other thing I would strongly suggest is going to our webpage and Dance the Tango. You definitely want the SpyBot and AdAware on there. And if you need instructions as far as updating that and how to run it, my wife, if you email L. Lynch, that's LLYNCH at nwritepc.com. She will email you, and she's done over, I think, 150 folks now, of the checklist on how to run SpyBot NetAware. And this will keep your machine clean and up and running.
Okay. The other thing that's in this window is it says the application has generated an exception that could not be handled. Then we've got something that says process ID equals OX98.
Yeah, none of that is useful without an actual program name.
Yeah, unless right. you actually wrote the program.
And it
crashing.
Could be, right. again, spyware.
Okay.
All right.
Start with the Tango and then move on from there. Our next caller is Jim, calling in on a cell phone. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Good afternoon, guys.
Hi there.
Nick. couple of
I'm not sure what you meant by that, but thanks.
Hey, whatever. I've got one question and a couple of comments on earlier stuff. The question is, I've had a client run into a motherboard with two AGP slots, and his video card is working in one slot, but it doesn't work in the other. Is it possible that there is a internal register or something he needs to change?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that it could be. First, it could just be a bad slot.
Yeah.
The other thing is it may be turned off in your BIOS.
And likely there's a primary slot and a secondary slot. Yeah. And your video card has to go in the primary slot. And if you want a second video card, then it would go in the secondary slot. So if you put right. something in the secondary slot without a primary, it may not work because it's expecting something in primary first.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to return the video card. He got it through a mail order house, and it requires both of the AGP slots, which I find kind of weird. Okay, on the earlier stuff, on the I still find people, and I was very interested in your caller about the machine with the still running the version of Windows that you're not
careful,
supposed
Jim.
To get.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I still have a guy who loaded one of his machines with that version of Windows, and that unmentionable version of Windows.
Mm-hmm.
And he's back in my shop every 6 months to have his machine cleaned out
mm-hmm.
and reloaded. It's unbelievable.
And the customers yell at you about it. Well,
like it's your fault.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I take the grief.
Right. Oh, yeah. You the always second, be the whipping boy.
The second thing from an earlier thing on your poll about the UPCs and scripts is the thing that I have found quite useful is to watch whether you're getting them from Triplite or APC or any other place for the UPSs.
Yeah.
Make sure you get one that either has the software that comes with it or that you can download from their website. It shouldn't cost anything extra, or it should be just, you know, like right. a $5 or $10 boost in the price.
Yeah, APC's software is PowerShoot. I don't remember what Triplite's is offhand, but that's the software that runs on your computer that watches the UPS and shuts down your computer when the battery's dead.
Right, and all you need then is a cable. Jim, good guy, good site. He's got some good stuff going on. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Rob, Nick, you, Tom, and Richard and John on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's Bob Lonsberry.
Art is not necessarily a reflection.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. Indeed, I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is, in fact, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Our next caller is Tom, all the way from Walcott, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Hi, guys.
How
Hello?
Are you?
Good. I've got a...
Wait, is Walcott W-A or W-O?
W-O.
That's what I thought. Okay, thanks. Go ahead. I just wanted to get it right here on the thing. Never mind. Just go ahead.
I can barely hear you for some reason.
Okay.
There you go. I've got a Dell Inspire on 8000 with running XP
mm-hmm.
and 512 RAM.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's... I just upgraded to DSL.
Okay.
And I'm running a wireless network with a Linksys PCI MLOPQ card. Okay, when I...
LSMFT.
What's that?
No, nothing. Go ahead.
Okay, when I'm using Firefox, and I've got all the latest updates, and I run the tangle constantly. When I first try to access the internet, I get my old dial-up box up in the window.
Mm-hmm.
It says connect to the internet, yes
right.
or no, and I click cancel.
Right.
Then it'll sit there for maybe 2 minutes, and finally I'll get the page on the network.
You were right. on dial-up before, right?
Yes.
Okay, here's what you want to do. If you go to Start, you go into the Control Panel, into Internet Options. You click on the tab that says Connections. In that window, you're going to see your old dial-up thing, and then below that, you're going to see three radial buttons. The top one says Never Dial. 10-1 odds, you either have the middle one clicked on or the bottom one, and it's trying to dial. The middle one being dial if there doesn't find a network connection. Well, since you're now going to be DSL all the time, you can just click the very top one and says never dial again. Reboot your machine and 10-1 odds, you'll never see that pop-up screen come up again.
In fact,
well,
if you want, you can delete the dial.
I thought I'd leave it in there because I may want to use it some.
Okay. Oh yeah, you can.
Yeah,
yeah,
then don't
stay
delete
there.
It. Just tell the computer never dial it and always use the internet connection.
And okay, then if you ever want to take it out somewhere and dial in, then you go back in and say go ahead and dial.
Yeah, because see, I never said delete it. All I said was check the radio button, which just says never dial that number that's listed. Because we get a lot of folks that go out on the road with their laptops, and some places they'll have wireless and some have dial-up. And, you know, they got to be able to switch back and forth so they know enough to go into that connection setting and switch it, depending on their needs.
There you go.
Okay.
Give it a shot and let us know how you make out.
Thanks a lot. Our next caller is Richard from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Richard. What's your question?
I got a Desk Pro, Compact Desk Pro EN, 1 gigahertz. And when I go into the BIOS to set the passwords for a boot password and mm-hmm. a system password, or no matter what change I make in there, they don't take. It doesn't do anything when you say save changes and exit or exit without saving. It just sits there and nothing happens.
So it lets you go under as supervisor into as a supervisor passwords.
Okay.
You're trying to change, you know, when you go in there, you can have user passwords and then you can have supervisor passwords.
So, but you're saying that when you do exit, save and exit, it doesn't work, but if you do don't save and exit, it does work?
No matter what I do, it doesn't work.
So you can't.
No matter what changes you make, even if you say anything at all, change the time, nothing.
Well, I guess I haven't mucking around with making other changes because
sometimes they set it up to have a user be able to do it, and the user then you can assign a password so they can log on and get on. But the supervisor has it's like God, it's the administrator. You can control the password there as far as even allow you getting into the BIOS.
Oh, and when I try to change a password, too, it'll say invalid. I mean, it lets me in, but it's like I can't change passwords.
Well, what it sounds like is that a password has already been set.
Yeah, there's already a password there.
Then how can I get in?
Well,
you have to put that old password in first so you can change it to something else.
Yeah, but when I push F10 to get in the setup, it asks for a password.
Yeah,
right.
And I hit a password, which is hitting the space, the enter key 3 times. I just hit enter 3 times and lets me in.
No, that's not right.
That what that's done is it's bypassed the password so you can look at the BIOS, but you can't actually change anything. Where did you get this machine?
I bought the machine used. It came off lease.
Yeah. What happened was they set a password.
And you're going to have to find out what that is.
You got to go back to those people and say, what was the password? I need that password.
What type of machine is it?
Compact Desk Pro.
There's likely a reset BIOS button inside the computer somewhere.
Yeah, there's either that or you pull the system battery and then have to...
As long as it's not hardwired.
Yeah.
And then it may forget all those old
passwords.
But
unfortunately, that's the problem.
Yeah, you're in a read-only mode because you're bypassing the password.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So you're not entering the password, you're bypassing it. So nothing's gonna happen until you get that password.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen here, so you might as well just take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Rob, me, Nick, all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's Glenn Beck. We're killing people because of... Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Our next caller is John from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Peachy. How are you?
Good. I got a question about, I keep getting a pop-up in the bottom about a virus. I don't have virus protection.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you can tell me where if there's a website I can go to get some virus protection.
Yes. Let's start with the Security Tango at securitytango.com. If you are running around on the internet with no virus protection at all, you've got a lot of work to do before your system is even clean enough to put virus protection on it.
Okay.
So you go to securitytango.com.
Okay.
There's a couple of pages that are of interest. On the home page, you can read a little bit about what's going on and what's happening. There's a definitions page. There's buttons down the left. There's a definitions page that tells you what all these things are and how they work. But the important one for you is the Let's Dance button.
Okay.
It's a step-by-step guide to dancing the Security Tango. The first thing you're going to do is clear out your temp files and stuff like that. You want to follow this list down from top to bottom. Don't skip anything.
Okay.
Second step is you're going to download a whole bunch of files to your hard drive.
Okay.
In the third step, you're going to reboot into safe mode. Then you're going to clean your machine out. And then you're going to reboot and do it again just to be on the safe side.
Okay.
And when you're in safe mode, you want to be disconnected from the internet. And then you're going to do some updates and other things like that. There's a list of free programs on that site that get you the various cleaner outers.
Okay.
There's also a link to a number of different antivirus programs, including a couple of free ones like AVG. There's also links to firewalls. Once your system is clean,
okay,
you can download firewalls, including a free one from Zone Alarm.
Okay, I do have ErrorGuard and Stop It, Block It, Spyware that I purchased. I keep getting this.
That's only part of the plan. You need anti-spyware, anti-pop-up blocker. You need
a
firewall.
I do have anti-spyware.
Right, but you also need a firewall. You also need antivirus. You also need...
You need all of this stuff, and this will help you download it and get it running. Clean out your machine completely, and then you should be safe to go on the internet.
Okay, when you say clean it out, what exactly?
Follow
that
the Security Tango, and that will clean out all the spyware and malware and keystroke loggers and everything else. You're probably going to find thousands of these things.
Are several viruses that prevent an antivirus from working. So one of the steps on the Tango is a program called Stinger that looks for those.
And gets rid of those, and then you've got to install the antivirus software like AVG, and run that again, because the Stinger only looks for like maybe 40 to 50 of the most common viruses that stop antivirus software from working.
But do that. Print it out and do it. Our next caller, Scott from Wellsville, New York. How are things in Wellsville, Scott?
Oh, just about normal around here.
Oh, I'm so sorry. What's up?
Exactly. I appreciate the show.
Thanks.
I haven't had 7 living out sound on my computer for about 3 years. Well, ever since I had the computer. Previous owner was running 98, and the sound ran fine. Of course, I loaded ME on as soon as I got it. Came up with conflicts in the security manager.
Mm-hmm.
And lived with that for 2 years, decided to put XP, thought that would solve the problem, but I'm getting the same problem. And I can't find the drivers anywhere that'll work.
There may not be any drivers for an old computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real problem with older machines, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. If you can't get them from the computer manufacturer's website, what you may need to do is a little research inside the box and see who made the motherboard and go with that.
Or get a cheap sound card.
Otherwise, right, advice that we gave one of our earlier callers, was to just go out and buy a $15, $20 sound card and be done. That may be your best bet at this point. You'll definitely get one with the right drivers and everything else. So I'm afraid that's where we have to go, Scott. I apologize, but that's your best bet at this point.
I want to put in a quick plug.
Okay.
Friday night, 6 o'clock, Eastview Mall at the Mac Ave store between FYE and Eckert. We're going to be having our Tiger release party. Come wearing your tiger costumes, and we're going to be having giveaways and all sorts of parties. We're going to have the software available to release.
All right, we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave, Steve, Rob. I want to thank everybody who called in. See you next week on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Advantage Federal Credit Union is raining great rates all April long.